Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
This verse that we chose for this morning, Romans 8:28, it was written in my first Bible. When I received my baptism, somebody gave me a Bible before, and that led me to make that decision. And somebody, the one who was playing the organ that during that week, decided to write this verse. It was the first time that I really thought so much about this verse. And I realized that this verse has a lot to do with my experience as a Christian. And I hope that is the same thing with you. Because it says, and I know, that is confidence, that is faith. I know that all things, it doesn't say some things. It says all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. It is very important for us to understand that suffering, it is a very difficult subject. Right? You can read books after books after books, and you may sometimes get more confused than understand the subject. I remember when I was getting my master's degree, I decided to write a paper on suffering. And I was asked to read a book written by a rabbi. It's not every day that a Seventh-day Adventist is asked to read a book by a rabbi, but I read because this was a very young, he didn't claim to be very knowledgeable in theology. He was just a pastor, rabbi, a Jewish pastor. And he didn't have a degree, sophisticated degrees in theology, but he wrote because he had a son, his firstborn, and his son got infected by some kind of disease that aged fast. Some of you may know the name of the disease, that a child ages so fast that becomes older than the father. And he realized, he started looking at his child and could see that his child was aging fast. So fast, and he decided to write a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he didn't write in a perspective of a theologian, but as a human, as a father who loved his child more than anything else in life, and to see his child being born, being held in his hand, and die in his hand of old age. So he wrote this book, and I read, and I could understand as a father why he was struggling with this, the question, why him? What did his child do to deserve affliction, pain? I serve you. Why this happens to me? The same thing I asked, that same question, when I also lost a child. Why? Some of you may still asking why, and you may still searching for answers. And sometimes we go to the Bible, and we go to pastors, we go to books, we go to encyclopedias, and now that you have AI, you may AI what AI think about it, and you'll probably be more confused than ever before, because everybody has a different answer, but nobody has the final answer. So what is the purpose then to talk about something that we don't have the answer for? We can search together with hope that one day we will find out why. But until then, let's go to the Bible, let's go to the Word and find a comfort in the text the Bible gives. One thing that is confusing about suffering is that sometimes we do not know the answer, therefore we allocate the probably answer to somebody. We blame somebody. Adam and Eve did. We do. Satan told Adam and Eve, your creator is the one who did all this. And throughout ages, people blame God for a lot of things that God has nothing to do with it. Sometimes children blame parents. Sometimes things don't go well in their lives. They say, oh, my parents. It's always somebody else's. Sometimes because we do not have the answer, we need to grab whatever gives us some comfort. And sometimes people think that is a comfort to blame somebody else for their own afflictions. So let's go over this. We entitle The Afflicted. Have you been afflicted by anything? No answer, please. This is just a rhetorical question, okay? Have you ever been afflicted by something that you think that was overwhelming? If you have not, bad news is coming. The good news is God is in control.
Amen.
Even sometimes when we think that is not, God is in control. And we have the text to prove it. Hardships comes from living in a sinful world. That's a reality. If you are born in this life, you are subject to all the goods and all the bad. It comes all in the same bowl, like a salad. The good and the bad comes together. And you cannot just, sometimes by accident, you end up grabbing something that you're not supposed to, but sometimes we intentionally do. Consequential, afflictions brought upon ourselves by poor choices. Some of us don't realize that many of the afflictions that happens in our lives, we create them. I don't know, some of you can relate to this. Have somebody told you, don't marry that guy? And you did anyway. Or don't do this, but you do anyway. And then here comes the consequence, the payday. That is the check that you don't want. That is the check that you don't want to cash in. But you have no choice, you have to. So there are things that we do in life, there are things that we bring upon ourselves. And by the way, when we bring upon ourselves, the escape route is let's blame somebody else. Some people are victims, afflictions caused by wrongful actions or sin of others against us. Sometimes we suffer because somebody else make bad choices. Sometimes our parents make bad choices and we suffer the consequence. Sometimes the government, sometimes we vote for somebody, but there are a lot of people that vote for somebody else, and then there is the consequence that all of us suffer. I have seen, and I don't mean to be political, but I have seen people say, let's tax the rich. And the reason why they say, let's tax the rich, because I want some of their rich money come to my pocket. That is stealing. That's robbery when you try to take what belongs to somebody else. You can call whatever you want, but here's the consequence, here's the affliction. You send the tax to the rich guy, he's rich. Do you know why they are rich? Because they know how to play the system. So they bring all the tax back all to us. And the people that vote for the tax are the ones who end up paying the tax. That's the foolishness. Sometimes we bring affliction to ourselves because we don't care about instructing, learning how to avoid the consequences. Instead of learning to avoid the consequence, we learn to create them. Disciplinary or refining. Here is one part of theology that many people get wrong. And as a pastor, as your brother in Christ, I'm not going to be soft with my answer, okay? I'm going to go straight for it. All right? Some people say that, do you know why I broke my leg when I was going to work on the Sabbath? I think God broke my leg to make sure that I would be in church. In a wheelchair, but I'll be in church. God punished me. How many people have heard it? Don't answer, please, don't raise your hand. But how many people constantly hear this? And we hear here in this church, we hear sometimes this, God afflicts us in order to make us better. And the devil says, "Chin chin, bitter." That's what it means. Not better. Those of you who have children, you may think that, if I spank my child as hard as possible, the harder I punish my child, the better my child will become. Wrong English. The bitter your child will become. You cannot understand that a discipline does not mean punishment. Discipline means love enough to teach. The word discipline means to teach. God does teach us, but God does not punish us. We punish ourselves because we choose to do evil and we suffer the consequence. God did not tell Adam and Eve to eat the fruit. He said, "Don't eat, because consequence will come." Persecution. Yes, we may feel comfortable right now because we can come to church and we can worship and everything else. But, and I never use the pulpit to scare people, because people that are obedient because they're scared, they are not obedient. They are just scared, that's all. Obedience that is honest and sincere is not coerced. You cannot coerce obedience. You cannot force your child to love you. You cannot. Don't try, because it doesn't work. If you love, love comes back. If you hate, hate comes back. Whatever you sow, that's what you harvest. So please understand. Physical, body disease, chronic pain, and we get pain, right? Pills and pains, it's our future. It will come. One day the body is healthy and we don't think about health. So we eat a lot of junk, we do all those things. And then the body says, "Time to collect." "Not yet." Yes, you ate, now you harvest. So please, if you young people, you have quite a few young people here now, the health that you have now, you decide what to do with it. If you waste, then you become waste. If you value, then you become valuable. It's all up to you. Do you know those things that they call, what they call this? Hand, right? It's your hand that grab things and put in. Nobody else is picking and forcing you. So you making decisions. Be careful. Mental and emotional. Also in a religious sense. Depression, severe anxiety, grief, and physiological trauma. Many people constantly are controlled by fear. Constantly. Do you know what happens when you are overwhelmed with fear? Faith is not around. Because the Bible clearly states that where there is faith, fear disappears. Have you seen a person who is constantly afraid of something? Some people don't even leave at home. They are prisoners at their own home because they are afraid of everything. They are afraid of what they eat. They are afraid of what they touch. They are afraid about what they talk. They are afraid to talk to people. They are afraid of people. They are afraid of their shadow. They are afraid of everything. They are already dying. Fear kills. Fear makes your immune system vulnerable. Any bug will feast on you if you are controlled by fear, because your immune system won't resist. Situational and financial. Some people say, "I am poor, therefore I am unhappy." What you have, as far as money, has nothing to do about you being happy or not. If somebody taught you that, "Oh, if I become famous and wealthy, I will be happy," I don't think you have watched too much TV. If you look towards Hollywood, somebody may not know what I'm talking about, right? Some people call holy. There's nothing holy there. So I call Hollywood. Okay? In Hollywood, there are a lot of people who obtain fame, money, arrogance. Oh, no, I don't mean arrogance. You know, they got all those things, and they are miserable. When you see them talking, you see the anger, you see the unhappiness. Why? The drug dealers make a lot of money with those people. Send them drugs and everything else. Because you know the drug epidemic in this country starts with the artists. Then went back to the population. Excuse me. Well, I forgot that I have the phone. It does happen, excuse me. It does happen that they started using in Miami, and then from there on, it became now is epidemic. It's everywhere. Why people take drugs? Because they are unhappy. They think that this is an easy way to, they drink alcohol because they want to forget things or because they want to be happy for a few seconds. And by the way, anybody who has get drunk in your life, you realize that it is one of the most foolish thing ever. Because afterward, it's only headache. It's such a bad feeling that it's not worth it. So why go there? And also, afflictions caused by self. Affliction caused by others. Affliction caused by circumstance. And afflictions caused by accident. Those are the typical afflictions that involves everything else, every circumstance in our lives. Remember, you can eliminate the first one. You don't need to bring affliction to yourself. Don't become your worst enemy. Refrain from hurting yourself. You despise everybody else that hurts you, but you don't despise yourself when you hurt you the most. Stop being a fool, because that's foolishness is all about. If you see across the street or somewhere somebody with a hammer hitting their head, would you say that a person is crazy? Right? There are a lot of people that are not labeled crazy, but they are doing crazy things. Affliction caused by others. There are some that you can avoid. I receive a phone call from someone, a young man, that says, I have got in trouble. I have to be to court and I may go to jail. All that I did was I was with the wrong people. Here he is, and I said to him, I'm sorry you called me. I'm going to tell you the way it is. You are responsible for your choice. Nobody forced you to be with the bad companies. You chose to be with the bad companies. Read Psalm 1:1. Read what it says. What happens to those that choose to be in bad companionship. People that are always saying, oh, I want to be accepted. I want to be accepted so much that I want to do what is wrong in order to be accepted. How cheap you can become. You are acting like a little puppy, a little dog. That you have to be with, no matter what the circumstances, you have to be. Stop. Don't do this to yourself. Male and female create him them and bless them and call their name Adam. This is very important. Some of you may not know this, but please pay attention to this because this is the King James Version, okay? Male and female create them, he, God, and bless them and call their name Adam, okay? In the day where they were created. God created male and female equal. Different parts, but equal in every other aspect. God even called them by the same name. Called them Adam. When somebody asks you, what was the first name of the first humans? Adam. Male and female Adam. Because the word Adam meant human. That's all that it meant. Then, it was as if their eyes were open. They realized that Adam was naked. So they got some fig tree leaves and tried to put it together. This is a typical. Sometimes when we bring affliction upon ourselves, we try to get our own solution. We think that if we can fix ourselves. So that's what they did. When they sinned, the consequences started. What was the first consequence of their disobedience? Shame. Shame came to them, something that they were not supposed to experience. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, this talks about when God came to have a meeting with them. So they heard God talk, walking. And what they did before is, oh, Papi is here. Abba is here. Whoa, run to his arms. But now, Papi is here. Even this day, we have families when it says, Papi is here, the children run for cover. There are a lot of homes, they are not homes. They are prisons. People, they live there, they live because they have to. They don't want to be there. And by the way, this is not only men who does this. Sometimes the ladies, they do a big, very good job too. They can become as mean, as violent as they can be to their children too. And sometimes the children can be violent to their parents as well. Then the Lord called Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? By the way, when you woke up this morning, did you hear a question, where are you? Where are you in a question of suffering? Who are you holding responsible for the things that happen in your life? Are you taking responsibility for your actions? Genesis 3, verse 10, due to the fact that I read to you before, now I'm taking the liberty to paraphrase this verse. Genesis 3, verse 10, it says, Adam, answer, okay? We heard you walk in the garden. Why I said we? Because even though over there in the original says I, but I believe it's we because both of them were hiding. And God called Adam, both of them. That's why I took the liberty to say, then Adam, they answered, we heard you walk in a garden. Both of them heard. And we were afraid. Both of them were afraid. And we were naked. Both of them were naked. So we hid. Both of them hid. Both of them covered with leaves. That's why it was both of them. Affliction and conflict. From now on, you, the serpent, and the woman will be enemies. Do you know why there is suffering? Because there is a conflict going on between good and evil. And we are part of it. Or we are with the serpent becoming an offspring of the serpent. Or we are with our Creator become His creation. What size are you fighting for? As you will, your offsprings and hers, they will be enemies. You will strike his heel and he will crush your head. Yes, we know this messianic prophecy. The question is, do we realize that we are all part of it? Do you know that every choice that you make, you are deciding which side am I fighting for? Are you at God's side, covering their nakedness? And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins. There is affliction. Nature started already suffering because it's a consequence of their actions. You will suffer as the consequence of somebody else's actions. But don't suffer for your own actions. You can become a victim, but don't become the perpetrator of suffering. Don't cause suffering. And you know what happened? They had everything. Now they are being kicked out. They are being kicked out. Why? Because they chose death instead of life. And because they chose death instead of life, they no longer could stand in the presence of God. Now, all of you know this symbol, right? What is this symbol all about? By the way, let me give you a hint. This symbol and this book has one single word that describes all of them, both of them and everything else. The word is life. When you look to the Ten Commandments, don't look at the rules. Look at an opportunity to have life. Isn't that what Adam and Eve lost when they decided to turn their backs to the God's will, to God's commandment? And they turned their back to life. And that's how they faced death. Don't blame God for your disobedience. Give God credit for His mercies. Embrace His grace. He's willing to give you another chance. So look at life, embrace that life, value life, and suffering will be something much easier to deal with. The wages of sin is what? Death. And of course, I cannot resist by just remind all of you that be careful with what you eat. Okay, because whatever you eat, it may cause your death. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What did it say? Meaning, if you're good, it's still going to suffer, right? Everyone is going to suffer. Every single one. So don't think that you are better than anybody else, that you're not supposed to. We all going to get. But the Lord delivers him or us out of them all. I was expecting an amen so nobody fall asleep. I didn't get it, but I'll try again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. Let me hear the righteous. Amen. All right, you believe, so you are a candidate for those blessings. The temptations in your life are not different from what others experience. Don't think that you are getting worse deal than everybody else. Sometimes we see people that are poor me attitude, right? Why me? Why? All the time crying, all the time. And I used to tell my kids, grow up. And they didn't like when I said that, but just grow up. Sometimes we have a gray hair, no hair, we still act like a spoiled little brat. We keep saying that we are entitled to things that we are not. We don't deserve anything. Whatever we get, we should enjoy because it's more than we deserve. And it says temptation happens to everyone. And God is what? Do you believe? God is faithful. He will not allow you, my brother and sister, to be afflicted, to be tempted more than what you have the strength that He gives to you to go through it. And He will provide you a way out. Please take your Bible, if you brought a Bible, mark this in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13. This has helped me a lot in my life, and I hope it will help you too, because that is what will give you the assurance that you will overcome. Give this to the young people. Ask them to read this. Instead of giving them an excuse when somebody says, oh, mom, I did this. Oh, pobrecito. And they'll go and do it again. Wake up. Because one day you're going to be in jail, in prison, or somebody's going to shoot you and you're going to be killed. Stop playing games with the most precious thing that God has given you. He gave you an eye, meaning an individuality. You are an existent human being. You have the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. You have received the image of God as a gift. That gift is eternal. Don't throw it away. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, don't say, repeat this with me. Remember, when you are being tempted, don't say, let's say this loud, don't say what? God is tempting me. That is the blasphemy that a lot of pastors, a lot of people are teaching, saying, I've been afflicted by God because God wants me to make me better. God does not play that game. God is not holding hands with the devil. That is the devil's job. Don't blame God, because what the devil wants you to blame God is because if God is the one who is afflicting you, and the devil also afflicts you, you have no place to go. Right? You have no way out. And the devil says, chin chin, I got one more fool. God is telling you, when you are tempted, when you are afflicted because of your poor choices, but because the devil wants you to take you away from me, you are my kid. I love you so much. If you have any doubt, look at the cross. You see how much I love you. Don't give away this gift. God tempts no one. God is never tempted to do wrong. And he never, can you say with me, never, never tempts anyone else. He does never, God never tempted you, not a single time, and he never will. God has never afflicted you, and he never will. No matter how bad you become, God will not afflict you with anything. By sure thing, the devil will have a picnic with you. The devil, yes, he is waiting for you to turn your back on God so that you become vulnerable, so that you become his target. Temptation comes from our own desires. From where? From our own choices, which entice us and drag us away from God. Then the devil says, okay, it's mine. Now it's my turn. And he knows how to create misery. Therefore, submit to God. Do what? Surrender to God. People that has an ego bigger than an elephant, they have trouble submitting to anything besides their own desires. Or those, they submit a lot, very fast. But to God, no. So therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. How can we resist the devil? Look at the screen. The answer is right there. How can we resist the devil? Submission to God. I call God and says, God, I am with you. And God says, oh, we will take care of the devil very easily. Now we are together. But if you try to face the devil all by yourself, we cannot even pray for you, because it won't work. And he will flee from you. He will do what? He will run away from you. Some people, I had one when I was a teenager. I attended a church, and I was one of the few young people in the church. And there was this man that I used to preach. The church didn't have a pastor who could preach every Sabbath. So sometimes we had a pastor who would preach only once a month, sometimes once every 2 months, because they had so many churches. So this individual, he was invited once in a while to preach. He was a very simple person. He could barely read. And he had a glasses that was thick as a bottle. It was very thick. And every time he would go to the pulpit, we liked because he was, do you know when somebody is so simple that becomes so attractive because they're so simple they are? And we liked to hear him because he would make some statement that we could laugh about it, but we learned. And I remember he made an application that says, and you, young man, remember, if you want to play with a lion, don't use a short stick. Common sense, right? Why do you play with a lion I would not, even if you have a stick that this long, I don't want anything to do with a lion, because why play with a lion in the first place? It doesn't matter how long the stick, don't play, period. It is very important. If you want the devil to flee from you, don't keep inviting him to your house. By the way, there is a very easy way for the devil to access your home. Sometimes they call iPhone, or they may call Google, or they may call this app or that app or whatever. People always, I see young people today, they don't raise their heads even for a minute. Sometimes I don't even know if they can breathe. They are so desperate for companionship. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Two things for us never to miss the mark. He says, to those who love God. Today the lesson was about love, right? And the best definition of love that you can ever find is on the Bible. Very simple, but very conclusive. God is love. Amen. That's how complicated it is to know what love is, because it's very difficult to know. But you cannot know what God is unless you have a relationship with him. Give your burdens. I thought when I was about to write this verse, I said, are the burdens going to be in church today? It says, give your burdens to the Lord. And we have some burdens here that belong to the Lord, right? Hey, burdens. Yeah, they are there. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Yes, look at them, how God takes care of them. And it says, he will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Are you afraid to fall? You shouldn't be. All that you need to know is keep your eyes focused on the God that loves you. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Not because I know now that I can rejoice with troubles, because I know that troubles, they don't come from God. They come from the enemy, but because I have God at my side, even the troubles can be a motive for me to rejoice. For we know that they will help me to become a better person instead of a bitter person. And endurance develops strength and character. And character, strength, our confidence, hope of salvation. I am not complaining about having too little. I have learned to be satisfied with whatever I have. I used to be able to eat only one piece of bread, this big, with one slice of cheese that I paid 10 cents for it, and I had to ask the guy to give me a knife that was very sharp so I could slice that cheese in two pieces. It was already very thin, so it was a kind of artistic thing to go through, and then spread that so that whenever I bit the bread, there was some cheese inside. And one small drink, 5 cents for the bread, 10 cents for the cheese, and 50 cents for the drink. That was all my food that I could have sometimes for 3 or 4 days. But the day was great because I felt that I was so close to God. Sometimes we put so many things in our stomach that we forget that God is around, and then we think the stomach is the God. I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I have lived under all kinds of conditions. By the way, this could be my words. Not that I have been rich, because being rich is being healthy. I know what it means to be full, and I know how to be hungry, to have too much or to have too little. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. I want you to say this with me, please, if you want to. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. God give me the strength to face any affliction that the enemy may send in my path. I will use every circumstance to praise Him and to tell Him, my life is yours. It came from you, it belongs to you, and it will be in your hands as long as I live. Loss of family, loss of wealth, loss of health. Those things happen to a person who was afflicted. I always see his name, Job. That's exactly what I think. The devil has a job on him. Job was afflicted. The Bible says he was righteous, and yet he was afflicted. The Bible talks about Jesus, that he was also righteous. He was also afflicted. Yes, he suffered pain. He suffered rejection. Everything to deliver you from your afflictions. Amen. Yes, but he was wounded for the wrong. But he was wounded for the wrong we did. He was crushed for the evil that we committed. The punishment which you made us well was given upon him. He healed us with his wounds. He paid it all, brothers and sisters. God so loved the world so much that he gave his son, his only son, so that whatever believes in him may not have to be lost, but have eternal life. We are concluding by saying, stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what is right, but the body is weak. Some people say the flesh. And now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, he can help anyone here that is tempted as well. Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that were, but he did not sin. You do not need to be a slave of sin either. May the Lord bless you with the confidence that he is at your side every step you take.